This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with a question for you. Were you familiar with the term endangerment finding before? Are you familiar now? It's vitally important in addressing the climate crisis. Welcome to the March edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. The endangerment finding is a key Obama-era scientific ruling that underpins all federal actions on curbing planet-warming gases. It became the legal bedrock of federal efforts to rein in emissions, particularly in vehicles. The federal administration has revoked the endangerment finding, and the White House called the reversal the largest deregulation in American history. They claim it'll make cars cheaper, bring down costs for automakers by $2,400 per vehicle. My partner on First Fridays is CEO and President of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and Lisa Wozniak. I can't imagine you expected this.
Well, David, I actually wish that were true. But unfortunately, I did expect this because the administration has put a target on everything and anything connected to addressing the climate crisis. And that's one of the reasons for our conversation today, to further explore the real and potential ramifications of the decision to reverse this incredibly important ruling. Our guest this month is Andy Hoffman, and Andy is the Holcomb Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan. Because this is a joint appointment between the School for Environment and Sustainability and the Stephen M. Ross School of Business, he is very well positioned to discuss the broad implications of reversing this endangerment finding. So, Andy, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Why was the endangerment, Andy, finding so important for federal climate policy?
Well, I mean, it gave the government right to treat carbon dioxide as a pollutant and therefore set regulations to control it. And it has tremendous importance for certain industries, the auto sector, the energy sector. The future of those areas of the economy depend on adapting to an evolving future. I mean, certainly in mobility, we can reduce the standards on auto emissions, but the rest of the world's going electric. And even the CEO of Ford has said that Ford could become much more of a regional player than a global player, and we should all be concerned about that.
They're not required to follow this direction from the EPA. They can take this upon themselves and move electric anyway, right?
Yes, they can, but, for example, the subsidy for buying electric vehicles helps support the market in this country for people to buy them. And that's what these companies need, is to work in tandem, work in cooperation with the government to develop the next generation of technologies. And right now, that is not happening. And this is not, I don't think this is good for the domestic auto sector.
Do you have a couple of other tangible examples of the endangerment findings benefit or frankly, the reversal? What other sectors are going to be impacted by this?
Well, I mean, certainly the energy sector, not just the endangerment finding, but the apparent open hostility that the Trump administration has to renewable energy, trying to block wind permits. This is, again, the future technology. Coal is not the future technology. I can understand him wanting to support coal workers who are being put out of work as coal-fired power plants shut down, but the next generation of technology is not coal. And if we're going to compete, again, on the global scene, we need to develop those technologies here. And instead, countries like China have worked very closely between government and business to develop a very vibrant solar sector. And we're going to be buying the solar arrays from them, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should develop the technologies ourselves.
This is 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Our guest this month is Andy Hoffman. He is Holcomb Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan. My content partner is President of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak.
So, Andy, what does reversal of the endangerment findings say about the role of science in environmental policymaking in this country?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we're in a strange period where people are suspicious of science. Certainly the COVID crisis and the extent to which people were forced to get vaccines and caused a lot of people to really resent science-driven policy. You know, the idea that we're not going to use science to set policy on what is an existential threat. I mean, climate change does threaten our place on Earth. There's something we should add to this conversation, and that is insurance. So you can say that climate change is not happening, the greatest hoax on Earth. You don't trust scientists, but do you trust the insurance sector? Well, insurance companies are looking and saying, look, the number and severity of extreme weather events is going up. Our payouts are going up. Not only that, they're uncertain. They go up and down. That's what makes insurance companies very uncomfortable. They can't predict it. The past is no longer prologue. And so how do we price our instruments? And so what you're seeing is insurance companies raising the rates, lowering their deductibles, sometimes pulling out of markets, creating exclusions. And this is driven by climate change. It's driven by increasing costs of construction, building more assets in harm's way. These all sort of create the perfect storm for a risk crisis, which is what we are starting to develop in this country. If anyone's watching their property insurance, it's becoming much more expensive to get, certainly in places like Florida, where some insurance companies have pulled out. The state insurance option has had to step in. And when the government steps in, when the private sector pulls out, it's almost guaranteed to lose money. And how long will the taxpayers support that? And what's really interesting about this to me, it's not caused by the big sensational events like the wildfires and the hurricanes and things we see. It's actually something called secondary perils. It's the normal everyday events that have now become abnormally extreme. So we've always had rain events, but now we have atmospheric rivers that can cause massive deluges of water that cause flash flooding problems. We have heat events that buckle metal roofs or make airport runways too soft to land on or buckle highways. We have hailstorm events. And that, to me, is a vivid example of the extent to which the environment is changing around us. And so you don't believe in scientists? What about insurance?
Andy, supporters of this repeal argue that it's going to reduce costs for consumers and industry. Given what you've just shared with us, is this in line with what you see in your work at the business school? Does the business world really want to cut all regulations that are meant to protect this planet?
It's a very short-term solution. Maybe they'll make some money in the short term by selling cars that don't have the same emission standards. But for the long term, this isn't good for the sector. And we should be thinking more long term. I can't believe that, and then, you know, GM and Ford and Stellantis, they're not fully pulling out of the electric market, but they took massive write downs to write off assets that were devoted to batteries, to electric drivetrains. And so that's a cost, that's a loss. The stocks didn't take a major hit for it, but it does represent a withdrawal from where the rest of the world is going. And this is what should concern us all, particularly in the Southeast Michigan area.
It's part of your job to look to the longer term. And as you do, they always say follow the money. The academic world is a big part of determining how we adapt to this changing climate in concert with industry and with government and looking at it from a global perspective. Do you anticipate further withdrawal of research funding in climate issues and our ability to move forward with adaptation?
Well, certainly there's a reduction in research money from the federal government. States are stepping in. Foundations are still supporting money, but there is a chilling of research in these areas, which again is not in our best interest. Where is the world going? Where is the market going? We should be part of that. And it does raise interesting questions about, you know, the ideology we have in this country is that the government should totally stay out of the market, let the market do its thing. Yet how do you do that when you're competing against China Inc. or South Korea Inc. or Germany Inc.? These countries have worked with their industries to make them competitive on the global scene, and I just don't think a policy of let the market work it out when you're dealing with a global market environment that very much has government involvement. How do they compete? How does GM and Ford compete without cooperation, without collaboration with the federal government? I don't know.
So where do we go from here? What avenues might states and cities or the private sector pursue in response to this repeal?
Well, certainly, as David said, the auto companies, I don't think they'll fully pull out of this sector. You're starting to see some overtures towards partnerships with Chinese companies, which is quite interesting. I read something that really surprised me, that the CEO of Ford is really fascinated with Chinese electrics and actually had one delivered for his private use. So they're not clueless on what's going on, but are we going to require collaboration with other competitors in order to stay in the market? Where's American ingenuity? Where's American innovation? That's what we need to really try and focus on. And while the endangerment finding was one way, there are others as well. And so I'm not totally giving up, but I don't think this is helpful. I'd like to see insurance companies start collaborating more with governments to set building standards, to set zoning requirements. Should you be able to build in environments that are going to be hit with hurricanes, coastal properties, things like that in Florida? What are the building standards to absorb storm blow? How does insurance companies work with government to make sure that the payouts aren't going up, that we can build in a way that it manages the risk that insurance companies are facing?
Well, Andy, I thank you so much for the time, the perspective, and your insights.
It was my pleasure. This is a very important topic, not just environmentally, but economically, and that's the angle I take on this. So you can say climate change isn't real, but insurance companies are going to beg to differ.
That is Andy Hoffman. He is Holcomb Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan, because that is a joint appointment to the School for Environmental Sustainability and the Stephen M. Ross School of Business. Lisa Wozniak is CEO and President of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and joins us for First Friday Focus on the Environment on the first Friday of every month. And we'll see you Friday, April 3rd.
See you next month, David.
I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU, Ypsilanti.